Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for Sunday, the 20th of November, 2022. Hello and welcome. Thank you once again for joining me. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at NBC. This week in our morning service, we had a focus on modern slavery with a guest speaker, Dan Pratt, from the organisation Together Free. The reading was Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. We'll go and join service as Paul's introducing it.
Good morning. It's wonderful. It's great to welcome you to Minehead Baptist Church. Whether this is your first time here or the first time joining us online, or whether you've been online with us all the way through these times of COVID, or you've been in church thousands of times before, you're truly welcome. But there is one person I know that's only been in this church once for worship, and that's this morning. That's Dan. Morning, Dan. Lovely to see you. Dan's going to come and speak to us later on. Dan is set up Together Free, an initiative that looks at those issues around modern-day slavery, about what can we do? How can we respond to the Lord's great cry for freedom and justice? So you are welcome. You are among friends. And over coffee, you may get a whole load more asking you a whole lot of different questions. Bless you, brother. We look forward to what God says to us through you. Of course, this is the time of the year when not only is the week busy, but Saturdays are busy as well. And so next Saturday, the 26th and Sunday, the 27th of November, I have Withypool Artisan Craft Fair. There are some of these leaflets outside. Looks good, doesn't it? All that amazing stuff. Cream teas, cakes, soup available both days, admission free. I'm not quite sure why it says no internet in the hall. But I guess that means bring your cash. And at the bottom, you'll see it says, in aid of the Hope Centre Minehead. So if you want somewhere to go next Saturday, next Sunday after church, then please feel free to go to the Withypool Artisan Craft Fair, although you might want to stay here next Sunday, but more about that in a mo. That's next Saturday, next weekend, and the weekend after, something's happening for us up at the Hub, Lorraine.
Good morning, my church family. Good to see you this morning. I'm enthusiastic this morning because Christmas is coming. Yay! Oh, that's it. You've worn me out already. Okay, so the Hub Christmas Fair is 2 weeks' time, so it would have been 2 weeks yesterday. Just to remind you, it's 11 to 3:30, and our prime objective is not to make money, although any money that is there will go to the Hub, but as an outreach to our community who will be struggling this Christmas, okay? We've got a load of stuff. We have really nice stuff. So if you know people who are struggling, tell them to come along, okay? Because the prices will be kept low. If anyone wants to make cakes for the cake stall, could I please say, could you see me or Tanya? Tanya's not here yet this morning, but could you make them small ones like tray bakes, muffins, mince pies, those sorts of things that we can sell? That would be great. If you've been making craft for the craft stall, if you can bring that along to me next Sunday, please. And a big ask, if you feel you can help on the day behind a counter, I think it's going to be a busy one, so could you also please see me, because we would love some help. So thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Lorraine. And I lastly want to obviously give a notice, do two things actually, give a notice and let you know about next week. Those of you that were here last week will know that Tommy took a small part in our service with regards to leading our youth and children, and then went and spent some time with them across the whole weekend. At the church members' meeting on Tuesday, we extended the invitation to Tommy to come and preach with a view, with a possibility of becoming a minister in training sometime next year for youth and children, with a responsibility for youth and children at NBC. He'll be preaching next Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Okay, so Tommy's coming next Sunday morning to preach here on the 27th. Now, there'll be coffee after the service, and there will be, after that, a bring and share lunch, providing two things happen. The first is that you do bring and share, because otherwise it's embarrassing when there are 120 people and one packet of crisps. And the second is, actually, we're going to need someone to sort of help organise that for us. So if you have a heart, you think you can help get sort of tables out and chairs out, if you think you can sort of help organise the thing, then I'd love to hear from you afterwards. Can you speak to me? Because we'll need someone to coordinate that for us. That will be followed by, at about 2:30-ish, quite now the time, a question and answer session in the church for everyone that calls Minehead Baptist Church home. So it's not just for church members. Anyone can come and hear Tommy give some of his testimony, some of his sense of calling here. If you'd like to ask him a question, can I ask you to do me a favour? Can you let me or Richard have that question by Thursday? The reason for doing that is because actually we want to make sure that this chap has time not just to think, but also that sense of isn't being put on the spot and has the opportunity to let us know where his heart's at. That doesn't mean to say you can't ask a question on the day, but in reality some of those questions might need some deep thought. So if you can send that to us, that would be brilliant. And the whole afternoon really will wrap up with church at 4. Where Tommy and his family actually will be joining us for church at 4. And we can pray with Tommy and worship with him and ask the Lord for his direction. I hope all of that makes sense. If it does not, just come and find me afterwards and I'll help you to make sense as we go through. But next Sunday is a special day in the life of the church as we decide what is it God wants for Tommy and for us here. Then, just to let you know, on the Tuesday the 29th, there'll be a special church members meeting at 7 o'clock here in the church for members only. But there we'll be considering the resolution as to whether God is calling Tommy to this church to fulfil the role of minister in training with specific responsibility for youth and children. And it's at that meeting we will discern together whether God is calling Tommy here. I hope that process, that timing, those details are you remember them. But if you do have any question or query, let me know. Lastly, but not leastly, it is stunning to think of something. Last Christmas, Miles was the living Jesus in the crib. Do you remember Miles at the carol service? Not a proper baby. I don't mean that nasty. But a live baby laying there all calm and serene. Today, Miles is one. Right? So actually, he's no longer serene and will lay in a crib, will he? But actually, it's a special birthday. It is on special birthdays. We just remember that. So apologies for the pitching, Miles, but here we go. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Miles. Happy birthday to you. Hey, well done. And well done, Mum, for getting to his first birthday. I don't know about you, but sometimes the Psalms are real inspiration. And as Roy and the group come and lead us in worship, this morning in my own time of reading, I found this in the middle of Psalm 68. Psalm 68, verse 19 to 20 say, "Praise be to the Lord, to God our Saviour, who daily bears our burdens. Our God is a God who saves. From the sovereign Lord comes escape from death." They're real words of freedom. They're real words of freedom to you and me. They're words of freedom to the world. And as we think this Sunday about modern day slavery, my simple prayer is that they may be freedom for all of those who find themselves in those situations today. That they would acknowledge, we would show them that our God bears our burdens and our God is sovereign, who has freedom in his hands, a plenty to give. Roy.
Amen. Our God is sovereign, and let's stand and give glory to the Lord.
Friends, we turn in scripture to Luke chapter 4, a passage that we used a couple of weeks ago here, actually, and we're returning to it again today. It heralds the beginning of Jesus' ministry in Galilee, and we therefore read from verse 14. Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Praise be to God for the reading from his word. We've just sung a song, and I don't know if you know where the words come from. They actually come from Micah chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. It goes like this: "With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." Friends, they're amazingly lovely words to sing. But praise be to God, he doesn't just call us to sing them, but to act on them and to do them. Some subjects touch God's heart. In fact, I want to argue some things about our modern world break God's heart. A world where young people are enslaved to work on cocoa farms from such a young age. A world where young people are called to fight and die defending despots. A world where our young are abused. A world where people all over the world are enslaved. A world where our God, our Lord, says it to us in mine head, "You stand up, you respond with my heart." I want to introduce you to Dan. Dan, as I said to you earlier on, heads up the Together Free organisation. He doesn't know this, but I heard him once online during lockdown. I think it must have been one of those things you did for the BU. And I know for some of us that touched us. I invited Dan to come and share with us, his expertise on what he's been up to, and what God is saying to him and saying to us, I would argue, of this amazing subject. So before he comes, I'm just going to pray. Is that okay? Father, I pray for my brother Dan, that you would give him the words that are yours to say. That which he has prepared, which is from you, help him underline that in our hearts. And that which is not of you, but you've not yet given him, I pray you would give him the words that speak into the situation of here this morning. Speak of your heart, so that we may have a heart that softens to hear your word. So that, Lord, having heard, we may act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you. I pray for him and pray, Lord, that you would not just bless, but bless and bless and bless again the work he's doing with Together Three. Father God, give him your words and open up our ears, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother, come. Now, this is Dan. There's an age gap between us. But don't be embarrassed by that, will you? Lovely.
Not too much of an age gap. Thank you so much for the warm welcome. It's been really lovely to be with you here in Minehead this weekend. I had the joy of being with the youth group on Friday. They kept me on my toes and they were brilliant and very engaged. And then Saturday morning we had a wonderful breakfast with the men. And gosh, if I was in this area, I would be coming to that every time it was on. The food was amazing, as was the company. And then, of course, yesterday there was the video, The Chocolate War, which was very moving. If you haven't seen it, then do ask Paul or John about that. But it's really a pleasure to be with you this morning. I've got some slides which are up, which that's wonderful. So we've read from Luke's Gospel this morning, and the next slide, it shows an image of Jesus standing up in the temple, and as we know, he had returned from being tempted by the devil in the desert. And the preceding verses tell us that filled with the Holy Spirit, he returned to Galilee. And this marks the beginning of his Galilean ministry. So it's very much at the start of his ministry on earth. And he begins to teach in the synagogues, and he's gaining a bit of a reputation. He was praised by everyone. Now he returns home to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And the scripture reading tells us that, as was his custom, he goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Of course, the synagogue was the Jewish center of worship. And from the age of five, children within that culture and time were admitted into the synagogue. From the age of 13, attendance was part of the legal life of a Jew. And Jesus would have been going there since he was a child. A brief reading would be given from the law or the prophets, parts of our Old Testament. And it was usually given by one of the men in the congregation or perhaps by a visiting rabbi or teacher. And the scripture reading, it says that he goes to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he goes into the synagogue as was his custom. And he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and unrolling it, he found the place where it was written. And so you can see the scroll that he would have opened, one very much like that. And he reads from Isaiah chapter 61. Now, Isaiah's prophecies were written about 700 years before Jesus stands up in the temple at this time. And the context of the writing in which Isaiah is prophesying and then the prophecies are written down was one of captivity and slavery. For those of us who know church history, the Israelites had been continually called back to God by the preceding prophets to Isaiah. And they would continually say, "Isaiah, come back to God, otherwise judgment will fall on you." And as we know the history of some of the Israelites, they were continuing to be disobedient. And as a result of that, the Babylonians took them captive. And it's really within this context of captivity and enslavement that Isaiah is prophesying about this coming Messiah, the one who would bring ultimate freedom, the one that would bring liberation, the one that would bring hope in the midst of captivity and injustice. And Jesus reads from this passage and says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor." Now, some of the translation, it talks about anointing, the Spirit of the Lord anointing. It means about being given a task or being assigned something specific to do with a purpose. And the purpose Jesus outlines is a few different aspects of his calling. And so he begins by saying, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. And when we think about this bringing of good news, it's about making God's message of salvation known with authority and power. In Luke's gospel, the poor are frequently mentioned. And of course, this can mean both the physicality and the physical aspects of being poor. But it's also about being poor of spirit and being humble before God and knowing that there is a need and dependency for God. But what I find interesting is within some of the studies and theology that I came across is South American liberation theology. And the liberation theologians, they emerged in the 1970s and 80s in South America. And they really reminded the church of God's preferential option for the poor. So they were saying that God holds the poor close to himself. There's a special place in God's heart for those who are poor and those who have more need than perhaps other people. And Leonardo Boff, one of the theologians, he writes that the option for the poor against their poverty and for their liberation, it's really at the heart of liberation theology. Now, about 10 years ago, I was called to pioneer a church within the Essex Riviera. For those of you who might have been there, Southend-on-Sea. I don't know if any of you have been to that wonderful place. I arrived from having worked overseas with the Baptist Missionary Society and arrived in Southend to pioneer a church. And the next slide shows 57 West, which is the name of the church that emerged. And it was a church that became rooted among the rough sleeping and the homeless community within Southend. And for me, trying to work through, okay, how do we become church together in this place? A lot of the writings of people like Leonardo Boff and reading about God's special heart for those who are in suffering and injustice and those who are in some ways oppressed really stood out to me. And during the time that I was there, we ran a community cafe during the week, which would offer tea and toast. There would also be opportunities for pastoral care. And then at the weekend, we would do a church service as well. And I had the privilege of getting to know several of the individuals who came quite frequently, who were street homeless. And over a period of time, I got to hear some of their stories. And I was quite shocked to discover that several of them had been exploited through modern slavery and particularly labor exploitation. And Harry's story is one which is very similar to that I encountered. And this comes from the Salvation Army. So Harry's mother died when he was 57. And Harry found it hard to cope with responsibilities on his own. And after an emotional and mental breakdown, he became homeless. At this vulnerable time, when he was queuing for a bed at a night shelter, two men approached him with an offer of work, accommodation, food, and alcohol. He was made to share a damp caravan with three other men and put to hard physical work 6 days a week from 6 a.m. until 10 p.m. on groundwork and landscaping projects. When he complained that he never received his pay, his traffickers beat him and forced him to sleep outside. Harry was too frightened to escape, knowing that his traffickers had a large extended family. He eventually managed to get away from them while working on a tarmac drive, and he went to the police for help. They directed him to a Salvation Army homeless unit, where he was identified as a potential victim of trafficking. And it was there that Harry was able to receive support and care. Now, there were several stories that we encountered in Southend of people even being recruited for labour within Southend. And we were horrified that actually people were coming and deliberately going to charities or to night shelters or to churches where the homeless would congregate and go into those places with the purpose of trying to recruit for labour, which would often turn out to be quite exploitative. Through doing some work with the local police in trying to work through, you know, how do we safeguard, I began a bit of a journey in understanding a bit more of modern slavery and the context that the United Kingdom finds itself in. The next slide gives us some statistics. In 2021, there were 12,727 people identified in the UK as potential victims of modern slavery. So this is just within a 12-month period within the United Kingdom, and these are the ones who have been identified and also referred into the government's safeguarding mechanism. Of course, because modern slavery is a hidden crime, we don't exactly know how many people are currently being exploited because they're hidden. But it's estimated that there are in the region of 136,000 victims of modern slavery in the UK today. Now, globally, there are more slaves who are in captivity than at any other time in history. So we think of the transatlantic slave trade and how horrific that was, but actually there are more slaves alive today with an estimated 49.6 million around the world. So within the UK, the police and the National Crime Agency, they say that modern slavery is impacting every town and city. So if we think about the statistics of populations, with Minehead being a population of around 14,000, if we take that statistic and break it down, we would anticipate there being about 30 people within Minehead itself currently being exploited. Now, within Southend, in the area where I am, it would be in the region of 400. We have a couple of hundred thousand with us. So for us as a church, and also for me as a minister, trying to think through theologically, you know, what is God's response in this? What is the church's response in this? Really began to think through, okay, what is it that God is wanting to do? So when we think about the big picture of God's reign and God's kingdom, you know, we are encouraged to pray the Lord's Prayer, and we pray for God's kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. And of course, within God's kingdom, there is no slavery. There's no exploitation. People are treated with respect, with dignity, because we know that people are created in God's image. And so if we are working and partnering together with God in his mission and Missio Dei, then actually we are called to join with him in bringing about freedom to the captives. And modern slavery, when we define it, it's when a person holds another person in slavery or servitude, making them perform forced or compulsory labour. And human trafficking, it is kind of sitting underneath that umbrella of modern slavery, but it's about the transportation of people. So it's when a person arranges or facilitates the travel of another person with a view to that person being exploited. But if we think about the different forms of modern slavery, I'm going to briefly touch on the different types that we have within the United Kingdom. So the next slide highlights forced criminality. So this is where perpetrators recruit quite vulnerable individuals to commit criminal acts. So, for example, this could be something like cannabis cultivation. So it's not uncommon for people to grow cannabis just on residential streets, in flats or houses. You just need a fair amount of electricity to grow the cannabis. But sometimes gangs have people who are enslaved within those locations to tend the cannabis plants. We've also got county lines, which statistically is the biggest problem within the United Kingdom. And seeing some of the statistics for your area within Somerset, it's also the biggest problem for you as well as us in Essex as well. So county lines are where gangs would recruit children to distribute drugs so that they might befriend them, potentially groom them, become their friends, and then they'll be asked to deliver a package from one place to another, but then they get sucked in deeper and deeper into distribution of drugs. So again, children as young as 11, 12, 13 have been known to be recruited. The next slide continues in terms of the different types of modern slavery. So we've got forced labour. So this is the second most common type within the United Kingdom. So this would be where individuals are made to work for little or no money in quite poor conditions. So high-risk industries could include building sites or agriculture. Car washes are known for being a hotspot, as are nail bars. So there are certain industries which are known to be more exploitative than others. Of course, not all of those industries are, but it just means that we can just be observant and aware if we use those services, just regarding the well-being of people. We've also, the next slide, the sexual exploitation. So this would be forced into abusive or non-consensual sexual acts. I was doing a workshop with a church a couple of years ago, and a retired gentleman phoned me up after the church service, and he said that he lived on quite a nice street within our area, and he'd seen his house across from him. It had been rented out, but he'd seen two men take two women into the accommodation. There were different men frequenting the house. And he said, you know, there's just something about it that doesn't quite feel right. So he phoned the police. He just said, you know, this is what I've seen. And then they came to investigate. And it was being used as a pop-up brothel, which is where it's a brothel which would be temporarily accommodated, maybe for a couple of weeks or a month at one location, and then it would move location to somewhere else, really to stop the police from identifying it. But thankfully, he let the police know, and actually the women in that accommodation, they were safeguarded out of that situation. So again, it gives us an opportunity, both as a church, but also just participants within our communities, to really be able to observe what's going on around us. And the police always encourage, you know, reporting. Even if we don't know for sure that something's going on, they always say, actually, it might be one piece of the jigsaw puzzle that we might be able to shed light on a wider picture and share that information which may safeguard someone from being enslaved. We've also got domestic servitude. And so this would be where people are forced to work in a private household for little or no freedom of movement. And there's a case study from the Methodist Church. There's a lady, she says, I was brought from my country of origin to the UK by a woman who was a member of my church. She promised me a job working in a new branch of my church in London. However, when I arrived, I was made to work as a domestic servant, cleaning, cooking, and given no money or very little food. I ran away and have been homeless ever since. I spend my nights in a homeless shelter and my days walking the streets. I'm too afraid to speak to the police. Within the context that I'm in, we've also had scenarios where churches have welcomed people unknowingly who were being exploited within domestic servitude. There was a case at a local Baptist church, and she was being dropped off after the church service started and picked up before the church service finished, and it limited her interaction. But it turned out that she was being exploited through domestic servitude. So again, it's interesting for us as churches just to be aware, you know, that often churches are a safe place where people can go and find safety and refuge, but also we may have people within our churches who come who may be in quite difficult situations. So all of this information can feel sometimes quite overwhelming in terms of how do we respond. And I know for us within Southend, at this little church plant, that in the early days it was struggling to get going, we began thinking, okay, how do we respond? How can we, as a church, but also a wider community, partner together and work towards a slavery-free community? Because that's what we believe that God was calling us to do. And the next slide shows we set up an anti-slavery partnership within our borough called the South End Against Modern Slavery Partnership, or SAMS Partnership for short. And we have quarterly meetings, so we invite different partners from the community to attend. So we have about 25 different organisations, so different charities, other churches, other groups that work with vulnerable people. We also have the local police, community policing team, and the local council also send a safeguarding representative. So for us, we've been going for about 4 years. We try and think through together how can we do joint actions that will help to partner towards a slavery-free community. So this was one of them. This was on the World Day Against Trafficking in July, and we did an awareness stall on Southend High Street. We got a graffiti artist. You can see the artwork behind us. He was doing that during the day, and so it helped us to engage with some of the public. And so we had about 10 different organisations who came and engaged with the public and hosted the stall to do that. With going for 4 years, we've had the joy of the last 12 months of working more directly with victims of exploitation. And as a charity, we employed a survivor care coordinator for about 12 hours a week. And so she coordinates a team of volunteers, many of them from local churches, to act as befrienders and also mentors to survivors of modern slavery who are residing within our area. And so we provide training for them as well as supervision, and they will meet we're working with 10 survivors at the moment. I think 9 of them are from different countries around the world who have settled within the South End area. And then we also offer practical help. And it's been fascinating for me hearing a bit about the Sparrow Project as well and the work that John and others are involved with. And I know this is something quite similar that he's in the process of setting up. So again, if God is pulling on your heartstrings this morning, you know, do have a chat with John or Paul about possible ways that you can get involved locally with some of the excellent work that is being done. We've also, the next slide, just recently started an anti-slavery partnership in Chelmsford. So Chelmsford Council, they saw some of the work we were doing in Southend and approached us. And this was the launch of the Chelmsford Anti-Slavery Partnership at the Civic Centre. So we had in the region of 35 different partners from different charities, churches, faith groups, but also the council and police. And they were signing a pledge saying that we commit to partner together towards a slavery-free Chelmsford. And so all of this, for me, is really my ministry now. So I handed over the church plant to another Baptist minister, and I do this almost full time. And for me, I do this as a minister because I believe that, you know, we're partnering towards slavery-free communities and we're joining in this mission of bringing about freedom to those who are in captivity. And the next slide, it brings us back again in terms of what do we do if we suspect that something is amiss? So there's the Modern Slavery Helpline, which is a free helpline you can call. It's 24/7. And they've also got a website. It can be anonymous if you don't want to give your details, but it just encourages you to potentially report things that may be suspicious. There's lots of leaflets and cards on the table outside as well, with details of the Modern Slavery Helpline. So do pick those up as you go out. The next slide, it brings us back to the biblical passage, and it really reminds us again of Jesus's mission. And so he says, yes, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to bring freedom to those who are in captivity, because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And so Jesus was standing up in the temple saying, this is my ministry. This is almost like a mission statement, a purpose statement for his ministry on earth. And we can see that through the Gospels of how Jesus fulfills this passage and this intent of bringing this freedom. And so, of course, as Christians and as churches, we join in God's mission, in this mission of bringing freedom to the captives. It's an opportunity for us today to again explore how can we as Christians move closer towards Christ and God's heart for the poor and God's heart against injustice. How can we together as a church and also a community join God in what he's already doing within our communities in order to respond? And so today we might not all be called to that. We might be called to pray. For those of us, we might be feeling a sense of nudging from God's Spirit. But there's an opportunity here to really listen to God and say, actually, within our own community, what is it that God is leading us to? And how can we respond in joining him in bringing freedom to the captives and bringing good news to the poor and setting the prisoners free? I'm going to end this morning with a Franciscan prayer. I came across this a couple of years ago, and it's firmly become one of my favourite prayers, but it's quite a difficult prayer to pray, and excuse me if I get emotional while I pray it, so do bear with me. Let's pray. May God bless you with a restless discomfort about easy answers and half-truths and superficial relationships, so that you may seek truth boldly and love deep within your heart. And may God bless you with holy anger at injustice, oppression, and exploitation of people, so that you may tirelessly work for justice and freedom and peace among all people. May God bless you with the gift of tears to shed for those who suffer from pain and rejection, starvation, or the loss of all that they cherish, so that you may reach out your hand to comfort them and transform their pain into joy. May God bless you with enough foolishness to believe that you can really make a difference in this world, so that you are able, with God's grace, to do what others cannot claim be done. Amen.
So, friends, to those issues that Dan has raised, to those awful statistics, we bring ourselves in worship with a song that, like Dan, often chokes me when I sing it. We're going to join together and praise God and let the Lord minister to us as we sing Beauty for Brokenness. Please be seated. How can we respond? Actually, for some, there is that sort of prod of God. If that's been you this morning, I invite you to come and speak to myself or to John. How can we respond? Well, we can keep our eyes open, our ears open, have a heart for those that are suffering, that are in slavery in all its forms. How can we respond? Well, we can all pray. Now, sometimes you're not like me, but sometimes I pray, and as I'm praying, maybe my mind's wandering, or maybe I need to somehow own the response. And I'm going to invite you to do that this morning, to actually, for this moment in time, just to have a heart to pray with me, words of prayer, and to respond. That's why that chorus is up on the wall. Simply to the words, we respond. After the end of these three short prayers, we're going to read that together. Because that's not just about me responding, it's an us thing. How do we respond? Lord, change our love from a spark to a flame. You don't have to do that with me, of course you don't. But if this morning anything's spoken to you, or you wish your prayer to do that, to change you and I from that love of Jesus as a spark to a flame, I invite you to simply to respond with me. These prayers come from the 18th of October 2020, and they are a prayer resource that was written to help mark Anti-Slavery Day. So I invite you, friends, to pray with me. To the words we respond, we will read God of the poor together. God of freedom, of beauty, and of truth. We believe that your deepest desire, your most powerful energy, is that all creation might know abundant life. We raise our voice in anguished prayer for our sisters and our brothers, women and girls, men and boys who are modern day slaves. They are your beloved daughters and sons, exploited sexually or forced to work because of human violence and greed. Fill us, Father God, with your holy anger and your sacred passion, that those who are trafficked might know healing and justice, that traffickers will come to repentance and conversion, that all of us might live in such a way that others are not made to pay the price for our comfort and our convenience. Hasten the coming of the day when all people and our precious earth itself will be treated not as a commodity, but as radiant images for your freedom, beauty, and truth. May our hearts break, Lord, as your heart breaks. And therefore we respond. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, let tears fall like rain. Come, change our love from a spark to a flame. A prayer for action. Dear Lord, just as you helped Moses and Aaron as they spoke boldly to Pharaoh on behalf of the Hebrew slaves in Egypt, help us to speak up for modern slaves around the world. A prayer for protection. Dear Lord, you are a strong tower and a mighty fortress. Help your rescued children feel safe and begin to heal. Protect them from those who seek to harm them. A prayer for prevention. Dear Lord, most of us say in this prayer will never experience this kind of extreme poverty that millions of people live with every day. Help us to understand and be compassionate towards their need. Help us to love them in a way that you love them. Give us the will to make things better. A prayer for restoration. Dear Lord, your word shows that you bring new joy and hope where previously there was shame and fear. We ask this for our brothers and sisters who desperately need to accept that they can be made new. a prayer for justice. Dear Lord, you demand justice for those who have been wronged. Give strength to those who investigate and prosecute traffickers. Encourage them when they are weary. Give courage to survivors when they're asked to testify against their former captors. And as your heart breaks, Lord, we know that your heart breaking means that you will act, you will protect, you will prevent, you will restore, and you will be a God of justice. And so we respond as only we can in this moment, as together we say, God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts like tears fall like rain. Come change our love from a spark to a flame. We pray for people who are trafficked. May they find freedom from fear and harm and courage to live in hope. We pray for people who traffic others. May they find freedom from greed and violence and courage to live with justice. We pray for the people who work to prevent trafficking. May they find freedom from threats and webs of untruths and courage to live in peace. And God of compassion and mercy, we pray that you would give us courage to stand and to say no more. As God's heart breaks, so our heart breaks. We will have no more of the ways that sustain this disgusting reality. And we will stand in compassion and pray that you would melt our hearts and change our love from a spark to a flame. And so one last time, Lord, we respond together by saying, God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, let tears fall like rain. Come change our love from a spark to a flame. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Can I ask you to stand and we'll sing.
What does the Lord require of us as we come towards this time, end of this time of worship together? That you and I leave and take to heart the words of Micah. May your week, this week, be filled with times when you act justly. May your week, this week, be filled of times when you love with mercy. And may your week, this week, be filled with times when you walk humbly with your God, to whom be all honour, praise, glory and majesty, world without end. Amen.
Amen.
Friends, to remind you, we're going to sing the blessing together, but before we do that, just to remind you, the information that Dan talked about is out in the foyer. It's going to be around for coffee and tea, so if God has spoken to you, please speak to myself or John or Dan. But friends, may we give each other this amazing blessing. And may we acknowledge the world needs to be blessed through the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen.
To leave a comment, please go to mindhead-baptist.com/sermons. And you can find out more about the work of Together Free at togetherfree.org.uk. Well, thank you once again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.